So basically, yeah. So I went a little out of the way, but Baruch Hashem, I got here. It's schus for me to be here once again. Second time being here in this wonderful school, this institution of MMY. I'm not gonna lie. I told the Shalvi for women girls I was gonna be here. They got a little jealous. It's okay. I told them I'm there all the time. You guys get to hear me a little bit. So Baruch Hashem, it's a very big schus to be here, and it's awesome to be here. Literally close to 48 hours away from Purim. We're entering into a time, we've already been in a time of tremendous simcha. We've been in a time of, we got two others. A time of simcha, I know in yeshiva, everybody's been waiting for Purim. It's a day that the Ariza calls Yom Kippurim. When we say Yom Kippur, which you know is the holiest day of the year, that is Yom Kippurim. It's like Purim, meaning that Purim is on an elevated level. That Yom Kippur is striving to be like Purim. And I would like to explore with you today is what is Purim? What are we so happy about? What's the simcha? What's the, if you look around, the craziness that seems to be taking place or that will be taking place? You know, you're very lucky, you have a schus this year to be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, experience Purim in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. It's some people say it's a schus, some people say like, what the heck is going on? It's dangerous, it's a miracle. We should all bench Gomel after going through Purim in Yerushalayim. That nobody dies, it's really tenacious. But it's an unbelievable thing to see. It's crazy, it's nuts. And I want to understand what is Purim, to have a deeper understanding. I want to hopefully share with you some ideas, my own ideas, and at the end, to tie it into the unique role I think that women have on Purim. Again, these are my ideas. I hope you enjoy them. If you don't, too bad. You're here for the next hour and 10 minutes. Which is, by the way, it's a very long time, an hour and 10 minutes. Does anybody else feel that? Or?
Classes are 2 hours long.
So this is a short one. Hour and 10 minutes, not so bad. Okay, maybe we'll do a story in between, get everybody excited. But I'm going to start, the way it's going to happen, I'm going to start with many questions, probably 10 questions, around 10 questions. I don't want to say exactly 10 questions, because I know someone's going to raise their hand and say, but I have 12 questions. So there's going to be 10 questions, and then we're going to go with the Mahalik, with the Hola, hopefully, an approach that will help us understand all the questions and bring everything together. I want to start with the first question, which we started with. What's with all the simcha of Purim? What's the simcha of Adar? If source number one, you guys have the sources? Yeah? Source number one, Kishim Shemichnas, sorry, Shemichnas Amim Atim B'simcha, just like when we enter the month of Av, when we know we have Tisha B'Av, and we have to decrease our simcha, and we all know, Kach mishenichnas Adar marvin b'simcha. When we come to Adar, we have to be extra happy. And the question is, why? What's this simcha? Because as we're going to see in the next couple sources, it doesn't make sense to be b'simcha. If you look at source number two, this is question number two now. Chayiv inish lebesume b'paraya ad lo yada bin aro haman v'baruch baruch. And this is the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah says that there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation to get drunk on Purim to a point where you don't know the difference between aro haman and baruch Mordechai. So there's going to be a question here with two parts. Okay, and hopefully we'll address. If I don't answer one of the questions, you'll tell me and we'll give an answer. But the question is, why are we drinking? If you look at all, there are so many Mamari Chazal, I can get you hundreds of Mamari Chazal that tell us not to drink. Drinking is bad. It goes against the Torah to drink, to lose your mind, not to be able to Torah mitzvahs, it's bad. So now all of a sudden we have this obligation, a chiyuv, to drink. So why do we have an obligation to drink? That's one. Two, why do we have an obligation to the point of not telling, being able to tell the difference between blessed is Mordechai and cursed is Haman? That's the point you have to get drunk to, says the Gemara. They don't know this, Mordechai and Haman. Why? What's it telling us? And to continue on that theme, it seems that the day is so crazy, it's so crazy to point to the next two sources. Sorry, the next source. Listen to this, source number three. V'yesh omrim dimihezek echad min chavero mikol simchas Purim. If you're at a Purim Suda, and out of your happiness, you break something, you are not chayiv pay. So if you're at the MMY Purim Suda, I'm not advising anybody to do this. I'm saying, but if this happens to happen through your simcha, you are so happy it's Purim, you're dancing, you fall through a table and you smash and you break it, and a cat is going to come to you and say, Now it's 100 shekels. Gonna be like, too bad. It's Purim. I don't owe you anything. Okay? What's going on? All of a sudden we're throwing, there's a whole chelik of Shulchan Aruch called Choshen Mishpat. Monetary laws. We throw that out for Purim? For craziness? Makes no sense. And furthermore, if you look at source number 4, just to strengthen the question about what's going on with all this craziness and happiness, if you look at source 4, the Gemara and Bracha says, Ma Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishum Rabbi Yishum Bar Yochai, heard from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi. Asur la'adam shimali schok pi ba'olam hazeh. It is asur for a person in this world to have their mouth filled with joy. Meaning in this world of olam hazeh, in this world of korban, of destruction, how can a Jew be happy? How can a Jew be filled with joy? And the Gemara says that you can't do that in this world. We're not supposed to be too happy. We say, Az Yimalis Chokpino, we say in Shir HaMalos, Az, when Mashiach comes, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, when we're close with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we can be filled with joy. Chokpino, then our mouths will be filled with joy. But now, at this point, when we don't have Mashiach, we don't have Beis HaMikdash, we can't be filled with joy. So again, to strengthen our question, how can we be so happy? How can we have so much craziness? It doesn't make any sense. So I guess that was question 2 and 3. Okay? Anybody want me to repeat anything? We're good so far? Yeah? Good? Excellent. Now, if we look, we know, in source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that there's a minhag to wear masks, to wear costumes on Purim. Right? This is where, like, the whole Halloween Purim becomes. We're in costumes. Mardi Gras, right? What's with the costumes? What's going on? And again, you may all have answers, but I want to get to depth. I want to understand things on a big picture. Okay? What's with the costumes? Why are we getting dressed up? That's question number 4. Question number 5. This I don't have, the next two questions I don't have sources for because it's things that we don't do. Okay? Well, no, sorry. Question number 5 is, we know all the mitzvahs hayom. What are the mitzvahs hayom on Purim? Shalach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, Suda, Megillah, Mishnah could be included in Suda. But why are we doing these mitzvahs? What's with these mitzvahs? Why did Chazal enact these mitzvahs on Purim? Okay, I know that everybody's heard things, but this is going to be my mahalach on this. Number 6, there's something we don't do in Tefillah on Purim. Anybody
Hallel.
Know?
Hallel.
There is no Hallel on Purim. On the day of the happiest day of the year, there is no Hallel. Why is there no Hallel? That makes no sense. We should be saying the longest Hallel of the year. Okay? Question number 6. Question number 7, the Gemara here in Shabbos is a very famous Gemara. We're going to read inside in source number 6. V'yitya'atzvu b'tachtit ahar. We were all standing under the mountain. That's what it says. Amar Rav Adimi bar Chama bar Chasa. Rav Adimi says, Milamei Chekofa Kadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Es Ahar Kegigis. What does that mean?
Hashem held it over them like a barrel.
Beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Har Sinai, he took the mountain, put it on top of Klal Yisrael, and what did he do?
Kind of forced us to accept the Torah.
And he said to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, Im atam mikalim haTorah mutav, if you accept the Torah, great. But, v'im lav, if you don't, Shom tiyek urashem, you will die. I will drop the mountain over your head. Anybody have a question? Yeah, what's your question? What's your name?
Yael Blau.
Yael Blau. What's your question? From Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
How can you call that accepting the Torah?
God forced
us to accept it.
How did God force us to accept the Torah? It's a very good question. And the Gemara answers your question. The Gemara knows that we're going to ask that question. Listen to what the Gemara says. Amar of Acha bar Yaakov. Mikan modor Rava lo Raisa. Rava, the question is, we have a way out. We could tell Hashem, you forced us to take the Torah. We didn't accept it. You made us accept it. So if I don't want to keep Torah mitzvos, I shouldn't have to keep it. I never wanted it. So you know what the Gemara says? Amar Rav Alva Pike, no. You still have to keep the Torah. Why? Hadar Kiblu Bimei Achashverosh. Because at the time of Achashverosh, at the time of the Purim story, the time of Mordechai and Esther, you know what Klal Yisrael did again? They reaccepted the Torah. We had a Matan Torah. And we had a Matan Torah Me'ava, from us wanting to do it. And that's what it says in the Megillah. The Jews accepted. What did they accept? Kabbalah Satorah. They re-accepted the Torah Me'ava out of love. So my question is, what does Kabbalah Satorah have to do with the Purim story? Why are we re-accepting the Torah once again at Purim? What happened in the Purim story that allowed us to be with Kabbalah Torah? What's the connection? Okay? Good? Yeah? Any questions on the question so far? Good? Guys, come on. Let's go. I know it's everybody's gotta get into this here, okay? Purim, come on, everybody. Alright? A little life here. Okay? So, okay, what's next? There's another halacha, source number 7. This is unbelievable halacha. You have to have a lot of money on Purim. You wanna know why? This is a big problem in Yerushalayim. Shalvim, it's not such a big problem because, first of all, it's all guys and they whatever. Not as many people are going to be doing this. Eim midakti mas Purim. We are not, we don't, on Purim, we don't care who's asking for money. Anybody who sticks out his hand and says, can I have money on Purim? He's collecting money. You have a chiyuv to give him. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you have to give him. You don't ask, are you poor? Where are you coming from? Who are you? I don't care. You ask me for money, I give you. What's that all about? Anybody who comes to me, I just give them money. That's also weird. Normally we have to make sure that we're giving our money to the right people. But on Purim, we don't care. Okay? That is question number 8. What's with that halacha? Question number 9. We know in Pasuk number 8, sorry, in source number 8, I bolded it. We know the famous expression, b'nahafachu, that there was some sort of turning around of events. And we know in the Pashup Shat, Haman wants to kill us, and we survive. That's b'nahafachu. The tables turn. But what is the b'nahafachu on a deeper level? What's the whole happiness of b'nahafachu? That things look the opposite. What's the real happiness, the real simcha that comes with that? So that was question number 9. Question number 10 is source number 9. Yeah, sorry. The question is, it says b'nahafachu. The pasuk in Megillas Esther. I'm not reading the whole pasuk, but I bolded it. It says b'nahafachu in source 8. You see that? It's bolded, right? It's not bolded? It is. So the question is, what's the whole happiness of b'nahafachu? Things switching. Things, the opposite taking place. Okay, what are we so happy about? We know it. Minahapaku, we have songs about Minahapaku, it's a big theme. What's so important and special about Minahapaku? And then the final question I have is source number 9. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Ksov Zosi Karam B'Sefer. Write this down as a remembrance. V'sim Bazni Yoshua, put in the ears of Yoshua. Ki Mocho Emche Zeche Amalek. Wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. You know what that means? Every man, woman, child, everybody, wipe them out. Get rid of them. Mitachas Hashemayim, there should be no one in this world that represents Amalek. Vayomer Kiyad Al Kes Ka, because they have their name on God's name of Ka. V'chamal Hashem B'Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a war with Amalek from door to door. God has an eternal fight with Amalek forever. And then we have to wipe them out. What's so bad about Amalek? What does Amalek represent? Why do we have to wipe them out, every single man, woman, child? And why does God care so much? God is so angry. God is so passionate about this. Okay? Hopefully, maybe we can, if we have time, maybe we'll add a nice idea over here regarding why it says Yad Al Kes Ka. What does it mean that we have that Amalek has his name on God's throne of the name Ka? What does it mean, the name of God that's called? That Amalek somehow blocks out that name. What does that mean? If we have time, we'll get into that. But that's a separate thing. So those are the 10 questions. Okay? So just very quickly, what's a Simcha Purim? What's with all the craziness? What's with the drinking? What's with the costumes? What's with the Mitzvah Sayom? Why don't we say Hallel? Okay? What's with Kimu V'Kibu? What's with the Kabbalah Satorah on Purim? What is with putting out your hand? That you, anybody puts out the hand, you have to give them. What's with benahapachu, and what is what's so bad about amalek? Good? We're good to go forward? Any questions? Anybody want to give an answer to any of the questions? Come on, somebody. One person. How many girls in this room right now? 70? What? 80? 80. One person in this room has to have at least an answer to one of the questions. What? Yeah. What?
Okay, so for why no halal, there's three different answers in the Gemara. For one of them is saying that Megillah is actually a halal, so we just like one big halal. A different one is saying that it wasn't Eretz Israel, therefore we don't say halal. And there's another one.
We were still the slaves of Achashverosh. It wasn't a full redemption.
Then we had a different one.
Okay, so that's good. That's good. We're going to focus on one of those answers. Yeah.
The mitzvot, like for Kenadon, it's a big focus in the month.
Beautiful. What's her name?
Ahuva.
Ahuva. What's her name?
Oh, Anna.
Anna. Okay. So, very good. So that the mitzvah Hayom we're focusing on Ben'arav Lechavero. So, yes, you're right. That's a good. You're picking up on a good point. I want to understand why. Okay. We're gonna answer that question of why. Why do I care so much about that? What? How much? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
That like they like in this month like.
Okay, good. So we're going to understand why. Why and other specifically were there for each other. That's how I want to get the depth of that. Yeah. Name? Okay. So everything's concealed in the Megillah, so we are concealing ourselves. Great. And we're going to focus on that idea as well. Okay? We're going to bring depth to all these ideas. Anything else? Anybody want to give one last answer? Oh, we're good. Yeah.
That's the Amalek question. Amalek represented not having Elohim. And if the people and when the Israel don't have Israel, again, that is what Amalek restricts. They represent not having morals, not having values, and not believing in them.
Very nice. Okay, so we're going to go on a different idea, but very good idea. And I think it will connect. It will connect what you're saying. Source number 10, we're going to do is we're going to learn a very important piece right now, a letter from Rav Kook. And if you ask me, you want to understand Klal Yisrael, you understand the Amunah of Klal Yisrael, what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael, you have to learn this piece of Rav Kook. It's a very long letter. This letter, a letter was written to Rav Kook from the Ritbaz, who was a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. He actually was asking about Shemitah. He's asking Rav Kook, why are you so makel about certain things in Shemitah? Rav Kook says, I'm not so makel in Shemitah. I have to protect Klal Yisrael, whatever. Shemitah's in parentheses. He talks about Shemitah. But in that letter, he also asked him, how can you relate? How can you communicate with the non-religious? Why do you put yourself out there for the non-religious? Again, now you think, what do you mean? Kirub. Back then in the 20s, that wasn't such a common thing. And he's asking Rav Kook, how can you put yourself out there and worry about so much about the non-religious? So this is going to be source number 10. We're going to do the underlying parts. Okay? And again, we're going to learn about Klal Yisrael, what it means to be Klal Yisrael, to understand ourselves. And this is a very important thing to always keep in mind. He starts off by saying, in source number 10, Kidei Lach, he asks him, why are you dealing with them? Kidei Lach Zira B'Tshuva, in order to bring them back in Tshuva. V'kasati lo b'remes kavanti, shekol mishu mukshar la'asar pipinimios razei Torah, that anybody who deals with the hidden parts of Torah, the Kabbalistic parts of Torah, the Panimiistic, the inner parts of Torah, what happens to the person is, humit malei yosim or hachesed, shal Torah's chesed. The more that you are involved in the inner workings of Torah, the more you become filled with chesed, with compassion, with love, with wanting to give. Va'alav hachovel asot betikun nefulim lekirav rechokim. The Kook says, and when a person is filled with that Torah and that mindset, then what his obligation is to go and to be makare people, and to pull people out of the mud, because you become filled with love, you become filled with the mindset of I want to help, I don't want to do. And Rav Kook is therefore saying, Rav Kook was somebody who was filled with Kabbalah, love, Torah, I have an obligation to go and do that. And now the part that we really need to focus on is the next paragraph, the underlying parts. Okay. And he turns to the Ritbaz and says, there are two parts of Klal Yisrael that make up a Jew. Sheshnei Dvarim Ikarim Yeshnam Shem Yachad Bonim Kedushas Yisrael. There are two parts of a Jew that make up the holiness of the Jewish people. Mitkashas Elokis and their connection with God. Ha'echad. What's the first one? It's called Husagula. It's called Segula. Segula means a treasure. That the first part about being a Jew is segula. What does that mean? Klomar, as it's telling us, Teva HaKadusha, Shebineshamas Yisrael, Mirusha Sa'avos, that the nature of a Jew is holy. Why is it holy? Because you come from the Avos and you come from the Imos. Your DNA is Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. That's who you are. And when you come from that, you are inherently kadosh, holy, spiritual, connected to God. That's called segula. And that, says Rav Kook, if you skip two lines down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, V'hisem li segula mikol ha'amim, we are going to be the chosen people of the world. V'segula hi koach kadosh pinimi, munach b'teva ha'nefesh b'ratzon Hashem. This part of a Jew called segula is something that is so deep inside, it can't be touched. It can't be contaminated. It makes up our teva, it's our nature. Come on, the real nature of a Jew, it's you are part of Am Segula. You come from the Avos. You come from the Imos. You are holy, says Rav Kook. Kimo teva kol davar mametzios. Just like anything you find in the world. There are rules and laws in this world. For example, there's a rule of gravity, right? You can't change gravity. I mean, I guess we can, but inherently, gravity does something. It has a purpose, okay? And the same thing, just like anything has a purpose and its nature, it has a nature, so too Klal Yisrael. And just like in the world, things can't be changed, just like laws, nature happens, so too the teva, the nature of a Jew, is constant. And it can't change. Because God said, you're Am Segula, we're going to be Am Segula. We're going to be the Am Segula forever. It's not going to change. Nothing is going to change that. That's Aleph. Am Segula. The Habet. What's the second? What's the second thing that makes up a Jew? It's called Bechira. Choice. What does that mean? Zed, this aspect of a Jew, Zed, Taloi B'maisei HaTov U'V'Talmud Torah. This is determined by a person's mitzvos and their learning. Bechira is the part of us that does good. We make a decision. It's not something that's given to us. We work to develop it. That's Torah mitzvos. Hachelek sul askula hu harbei bein arakla yoser gadol v'kodosh b'tchelek atol b'chira. I have to ask you a question. What's greater? Being segula or being b'chira? Again, what's segula? Inherent. It's given to us. B'chira is something that we work on. Which one is greater? Bechira, why? You make it you. Now listen to what Rav Kook says, and I'm going to explain it to you with a mashal afterwards to make it clear. Okay? Rav Kook says, the highest level is segula. Being part of Klal Yisrael, inherently kadosh, that is a higher level. It's much higher level. Yoser gadol v'kadosh mi'achelek ha'tlul v'bechira. It's higher than the level of bechira. El shabris krusahi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, Shasegula Penimis Lotit Galeb Bizman Hazeh without Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. Segula is the best. Segula is the highest level. So what's Bechira? What's Torah Mitzvah, says Rav Kook? Torah Mitzvahs have one purpose. It's to bring out the Segula. The Segula is there. It just needs to be revealed. How do I reveal it? Torah Mitzvahs. Which means the end. The ultimate is segula. Bechira, doing Torah, mitzvos, living as an Eved Hashem in this world, it's for one reason. It's to bring out segula. It's a means to the end. I'll give you a mashal. You want a cup of water. Okay? What do you have to do to get a cup of water? Come on, let's go. It's not a hard question. What do you have to do to get a cup of water? Take a cup. What do you do with the cup? You go to the sink. What do you do? Fill it up. Now, how do I fill it up? What do you have to do? Turn on the sink. How do you turn on the sink? What do you have to do? Twist the faucet, right? Twist the faucet. Can I get the water without the faucet? No. So what's the most important thing, the water or the faucet?
The water.
The water. But without the faucet, I can't access the water. Meaning, if I don't have the ability to turn on the faucet, I can't get the water that's inside. And the same thing is Torah and Mitzvot Sefer HaKof with the same thing that Torah and Mitzvot is the faucet. When you turn on the faucet, the water will come out. And Rav Kook is saying, what's he saying? Going back to the original question, how do you deal with non-religious people? Rav Kook says, every Jewish person, no matter how far you have fallen, no matter where you have gone, inside there's Kedusha that can't be touched. There's the Am Segula. You can't touch the Am Segula. Even on the outside, you're horrible, you're bad, you do every Aveira in the book, you are Kadosh. You just have to open it up. You got to access it. So if Cook says, what am I going to do? These people on the outside look bad. You don't understand, they're part of the Am Segula. I need to send Torah Mitzvahs. When I show them the way of Torah Mitzvahs, when I show them the way of life, they will naturally become Kadosh. And therefore, Rav Kook says, that is why I deal with the non-religious. And this tells us what a Jew is. The Maral, source number 11, I'll say it outside. The Maral has a similar idea. He says the same idea, but he uses different terminology. And he's also dealing with a different issue. He's dealing with the Christians. The Christians say, Klal Yisrael, we sinned. God, he did love us. We were the chosen people. What happened?
Changed his mind.
God said, change his mind. You guys are bad, right? You didn't do what you're supposed to do. So God will find a different nation instead. So the Maral says the Christians are wrong because they don't understand. Like Rav Kook said, there are two aspects to Klal Yisrael. Okay? He calls it the Klali and the Prati. Okay? The Prati is the Torah Mitzvos. Okay, it's like Bechira, Rav Kook's Bechira. I wish I had a board, I would write it out. Okay? Not too complicated. Okay? Bechira of Rav Kook is the Klali, is the Prati of the Maral. The Christians, you're right, we don't keep Torah Mitzvah, so that's Prati. But there's a Klal perspective, there's the school of perspective. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu never abandons. And even on the outside it looks like we're sinning and God should get rid of us, He will never leave us, because on a segula level, on a panemius level, we're always connected to God. And then he goes on to say another amazing thing. I wonder if anybody here has ever thought of this question. Anything about until I saw this Maral. Who's the first righteous person we meet in the Torah?
Noah.
How do you know he's righteous?
It says,
Eile told us, Noah, tzadik, kamim, hayim, v'dorasam. Noah is perfect. He's a tzaddik. He's unbelievable. The Torah goes on and dedicates psukim to tell us Noah is awesome. He's great. Okay? Who's the next great person we meet? Avram. What did the Torah tell us about Avram? Avram is tzaddik. What does it say?
Nothing, because Rashi says that you say more before a person. No, wait.
You don't say the Shavach before a person, but you say the same Shavach in front of Noah.
There's a Rashi that
says
it was before him, and there was one that...
I don't know what the Rashi said. Rashi's not going to say what we want to say. So we're going to stay away from Rashi. But still, whatever answer Rashi gives, so what about Noah? You don't say that. You don't say all the Shevach in front of a person. Hashem said all the Shevach in front of Noah. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing we learn about the introduction of Avram is Lech Lecha, Me'arz Lecha, Me'savicha. Nothing else. Nothing else. We don't know Avram's a tzaddik, Avram does good things. I mean, he's the greatest person in Judaism, I think. I'm thinking the foundation of Judaism. We should say something nice about him, yeah.
Maybe because when we're introduced to Avram, he didn't actually do anything great yet. So like you couldn't say he was like a good person, because like a great man, because like he didn't do anything yet.
It's hard to say that, I think, because the fact that God came to speak to him, I would assume that God wasn't speaking to like any normal person, right? Like meaning...
Like he was great, but like did he prove himself to be a tzaddik?
Well, the Medrash says that he threw himself into the fire for God, right? We know that he was a furnace, right? He melted through into the fire. Right? We know that he smashed the idols. Again, Midrash tells us he smashed all his father's idols. I mean, so he already did things to risk his life for God. So it's weird to say that he didn't do anything for God. Also, what did Noah do, really? Noah didn't daven for anybody. He himself maybe didn't do anything really for anybody else. It wasn't that great. I mean, it mentions that he was great. It's a hard question, yeah.
There are like different types of stuff. You get like Avram, who speaks for himself, and he has so many.
Very nice answer. Very, very nice answer. I didn't think about that, meaning that Avram, you do Avram was a tzaddik. But Noach, and we can see Noach didn't die for anybody, didn't save anybody, but he himself was righteous. So maybe it wasn't everybody around him, maybe didn't see that he was a tzaddik, but he clearly got that tzaddik. The very nice answer. Very nice answer. But let me tell you what the morale says. Morale says an unbelievable thing. There's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Noach wasn't Jewish. And therefore the Torah has to stress, why does God talk to him? Why is he special? Because he's a tzaddik. And he did great things. And he's tamim. And therefore he's a great person. He is awesome. And he will be in the Torah. We love non-Jews. He'll be in the Torah. But because of his actions, Avraham Avinu is the foundation of Klal Yisrael. He's the beginning of the Jewish people. And when we introduce the Jewish people, we have to introduce what a Jew is. A Jew is not determined based on his actions. Yes, that's important. I'm not saying it's not important we have to keep Torah mitzvahs. Not walk out of here thinking we don't have to keep Torah mitzvahs. However, the essence of a Jew is Am Segula. You come from a holy people. You come from people who are great. And if Avraham Avinu, if it said Avraham is a tzaddik, Avraham is Tamim Dorosav, you know what you would think? You think, I can't serve God. I can't have a relationship with God. Because you want to know the only people that have a relationship with God? Are tzaddikim. Are great people. Avraham Avinu taught us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham, you're all great. You all have a relationship. I love every single one of you. And you want to know how Avraham Avinu is how he's described? His description is, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'savicha. What does that mean? Go out. Lech lecha, go out. What does it mean, go out? It means leave the norms of this world. Leave the nature of this world. Because the nation that you're about to create is going to be something that is beyond the natural. They're going to be supernatural. They're going to be people who have a direct connection to God. With or without mitzvahs. And therefore, Avraham says, Lech lecha, leave the world of nature. Therefore, Avraham Avinu, when everybody told him, you can't have a child, you're 100 years old, it's not going to happen. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? Go look at the stars. Go out of your tent. Go out of your normal, natural way of thinking and realize what defines the Jewish people is beyond. You're going to be outside of this world. That defines the Jewish people. That defines the Am Segula. That defines us. Every person sitting in this room. You're part of the Am Segula. Whether you like it or not. You should like it because it's a good thing. It's hard. It's hard. Good things are hard. But Baruch Hashem, we are part of the Am Segula. What does this have to do with Purim? What does this have to do with all the questions that we asked? Throughout history, there have been two types of enemies of Klal Yisrael. Each one targeting a different part of Klal Yisrael. Look at source number 12. This is the Al HaNisim that we say in Hanukkah. Somebody read it out loud. Someone. Yeah. When Yavon came, the evil nation of Yavon came to us, what did they do? They attacked us. What did they do? What does that mean? What did Yavon want to do? They want us to forget the Torah, forget the mitzvos. What are they attacking? Bechira. You're Jewish. You're good. You're the Am Segula. That's great. You could be the Am Segula. Don't do Torah mitzvos. Don't bring out the Am Segula. That's Yavon. What do we say in Al HaNisim will be saying in 2 days from now? You guys 3 days from now. Unless you want to do two Purims. Come to Shalavim. This is great. Come to Shalavim. Keep one day Purim. Come back to Shalavim. Keep another day Purim. How many times do you do two Purims? I'm saying, in America, it's not happening. It's not happening, right? So here, Rav Akshan writes us all. Do two Purims. What do we see on Purim? In Source 13, we made Mordechai the Esther, B'Shushan Avira. Is it ties of Mordechai and Esther, B'Shushan Avira? Sha'amad Aleam, Hamad Arasha, boo. Hamad Arasha comes. And what does he want to do? Ubikesh Lahashmid, Laharov, Ula'abed, it's called Yehudim. He wants to completely annihilate all the Jews. He wants to get rid of us. Nothing to do with Torah mitzvahs. You're Jewish, I want to kill you. He's attacking Am Segula. You think you're kadosh. You think you're holy. You're not. And we see this with Amalek when they first attack us. When does Amalek first attack us?
The end of Bashalach.
End of Bashalach. What happened? What's going on in the story at the end of Bashalach? We left Mitzrayim. The whole world saw God's hand. Eser Makos. The sea splits for us. Everything is going great. At that moment, did we have the Torah yet? Yes or no? No. And Amalek attacks us. They attack us when there's no... The Torah doesn't even exist. They attack us at the moment when we're being created, just to know that we're the Am Segula. Just to know you're holy. At that moment, Amalek attacks us. All they care about is destroying the Am Segula. You're not Kadosh. By the way, when we say Berachas HaTorah, how do we say, what's Berachas HaTorah? Asher Barach Avanu? Nikola Amim, and then what? Tell me what does that mean? Asher Barach Avanu Nikola Amim. I chose you. You're the Am Segula. And then then I gave you the Torah. Amalek doesn't even care about the Torah part. They want to get rid of the Asher Barach Avanu part, that you were chosen, that you're holy, that you're Kadosh. That's what they attack. That's what they want to destroy. What's Purim? Amalek is Gematria. It's the famous Gematria. What's Amalek Gematria? Anybody know? It's 70, but you know a word? It's also 70. Amalek is Gematria Suffolk. Confusion. Amalek is that voice in your head that says, you are not holy. It causes confusion of who you are, your true identity. And Amalek Haman comes and says, you know what Haman comes and says? This nation, who's this nation? He comes to Achashverosh. And he comes to Achashverosh. It's source number 14. Vayomar Haman lemelech Achashverosh. Yeshu amachad mfuzar ubufurad min ha'amim. We have a scattered, splintered people. They're nobodies. Let's get rid of them. And he makes us all think that we're nobodies. And he causes us to have suffix. And what happens on Purim? On Purim, there's been a hafach. On Purim, it looks like we're not the Am Segula. It looks like Haman's going to destroy us. It looks like we're not holy. He's right. You know the Megillah? Megillah story takes place over 11 years. We think it takes place over 2 weeks. From the time that Vashti's killed, till the end, we're talking about years. Can you imagine what we're thinking? We are not the Am Segula. He wants to kill us. You know, it was just the Chorban. It's 70 years since the Chorban. We think that we're lost. We have no connection to God. That's what we're thinking. And v'nahapachu. You want to know what the Simcha of v'nahapachu was? All the way at the end, we realized we were always the Am Segula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there the whole time. We didn't see him. But now we realize he was there the whole time holding our hands. That's simcha. That's joy. And on Purim, what we do is we focus on one thing. We focus on Am Segula. That we're the holy people. And that holiness is found deep down inside. It's found deep down inside when you're wearing a Bozo the clown costume. And the outside you look the opposite of Am Segula. But you want to know what? Inside is Am Segula. On the outside I look like a Rasha. I'm holy. I'm Kadosh. That's what I am. You want to know why I get drunk on Purim? It's the craziest thing. We get drunk. You want to know why you get drunk? Now I'm talking about drunk. I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little graphic here. I'm talking about getting drunk to the point where you're on the floor sitting in your own vomit. Why? That's disgusting. I'm not promoting it, but I'm telling you, if that happens, why? Didn't Chazal know that may happen? Are they crazy? You want to know why? Because you want to know what happens when you're that drunk? Do you know what you can't do at that moment? You can't learn Torah. You can't learn mitzvos. You can't daven before Hashem. You get rid of all the bechira elements. I can't do anything. I'm not capable of doing anything that's kadosh. But you know why you do it? Because even in that state, you're kadosh. You're holy. You're am segula. It's bringing out that idea of who we are, of what defines a Jew. That's the first step. But I think it goes a step further. We talk about Purim. And we realize with the Am Segula, there's another thing that takes place. We also realize who we are not. What do I mean? We realize on Purim, I don't belong in Shushan. I don't belong in Ahasuerus' palace. Am Segula doesn't belong, I'm sorry to say it, I have to give this, in Woodmere, in Chicago, in Florida, in California, in Toronto, in England, in Australia, wherever you may be from, you don't belong there. And on Purim, when you realize that Am Segula belongs in one place, the one place where it's clear to the world that we're the Am Segula. That one place is here, where you're sitting. And down the block, when you're going to go to Har HaBayis, and you're going to see a Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the whole world is going to know Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad, that He is one. And He's one with Klal Yisrael. And He's one with the Am Segula. We ask the question on Purim, why don't I say Hallel on Purim? It's the happiest day of the year. You want to know why? One of the opinions, as said by, what's your name again?
Anna.
One of the reasons we don't say Hallel on Purim, if you look on source 16, Lefi she'ein omrim Hallel neisha b'chutz la'aretz. You don't say Hallel on a neis that takes place outside the land of Israel. What does that mean? What that means is, when I realize that what's taking place, that I'm sitting in Shushan HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, it's great and it's amazing. But I'm not going to say Hallel. You want to know why? Because it's a greater Parsumei Nisa. It brings out the Nes even more. Why? Because by me not saying Hallel, I know where I belong. I'm not in my complete form. I'm not completely Am Segula. By not saying Hallel, I say I don't want to be here. I know I shouldn't be here. And what I'm doing is I'm saying I'm taking a step towards Yerushalayim. Because I understand the message of the Purim story. It's not where I belong. It's interesting. If you look at the Megillah, we know that Achashverosh has a party in the beginning of the Megillah. Anybody know what that party was?
Yeah, 70 years were up.
Was beautiful. Source 15. Amar Rava. It says, my Kishavas, what does it mean that Achashverosh is sitting on his throne? Achash Nityas V'Daito, only once his mind was calm. Why was his mind calm? Amr Balshazar Chasha Batal, his predecessors, Balshazar, all the different kings that came before him. There is, the Navi says, there's going to be 70 years between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. The first Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. We're going to have 70 years of Galus. And after 70 years, God will come and redeem us. Achashverosh calculated, his predecessors thought they calculated the 70 years, meaning Klal Yisrael is not going to be redeemed. And then what happened? Achashverosh thought he got the numbers right. He thought he calculated the 70 years, and he threw a party. He threw a party saying, we're not going back to Yerushalayim. The Jews are not going to be redeemed. The Gemara and the Medrash tell us, you know what Achashverosh did? He put on the big day kahuna, the holy garment of the Kohen Gadol. And he came out of this party in his big day kahuna saying, Klal Yisrael's not going back. That's what he was celebrating. Am Segula, flush it down the toilet. That's what Achashverosh is doing. You know what the crazy thing is? You know what was that tzuna? The Jews.
Haman won. Ahasuerus won. We thought we're not going back, except for one person. Who?
Mordechai.
Listen to this unbelievable idea. Source 17. Is Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan Abira. There was one Jew that was found in Shushan Abira. Ushua Mordechai Ben Yair B'Tshivim Akishi Shemini. Telling us the name Mordechai. What's unique about this Mordechai? Asher Aglo Amir Ushalayim. He was exiled with the exiles of Jerusalem. He's one of the exiles of Jerusalem. Anybody have a question?
Why does it matter? Wasn't everybody?
Wasn't everybody? We're talking between Bias and Mishabai. Everybody who was found in Shushan was exiled from Jerusalem or descendants of those that were exiled from Jerusalem. What is the specific definition given here? This special title given to Mordechai is Asher Aglo Amir Ushalayim. He's exiled from Jerusalem. Says the Tiferet Shlomo. Everybody was in exile from Jerusalem. There's only one man who remembered. There's only one man who saw himself as Asher Aglo Amir Ushalayim. Mordechai. And Mordechai's whole mission in the whole Megillah is to bring us back to Yerushalayim. It's for us to realize, don't bow down to Haman. Don't give in to Ahasuerus. Asher Aglo Amir Ushalayim. That's what defines you. That's who you are. That's where you belong. And we see this if you look at the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah tells us in source number 19, this unbelievable thing. We all know the story. Haman comes to Ahasuerus in the middle of the night, right, to tell him something. And Ahasuerus says, what should I do to a person that deserves all this kavod? Haman thought it was him. He said, get a horse, put the garments on him, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know the story? Okay. So now Haman has to go do this to Mordechai. So what happens? Again, it's probably the middle of the night, right? Because it says that he went in the middle of the night when he was sleeping. Look at source number 19. Vayikach Haman es halavush v'sasus. He took the garments, he took the horse. Also ask it the Yasher Bona Kamei. He finds Mordechai with the Rabbanon gathered around him. What were they doing? We know, we should all know. When does this take place? What? In Nisan, it happens Pesach time. What's Mordechai doing with the Rabbanon right now? Listen to this. Hilchos Kamitza L'Rabbanon. He was teaching them the Kamitza, which is a certain technique that was used in the Beis Hamikdash. How to get rid of it? You take a handful of flour, and then you have to, whatever, it's hard. You have to smooth it out with your thumb and your pinky. He was teaching them how to do kamitza. He's talking about the Beis Hamikdash with them. Amar Luhu. Haman says, B'mayas Kisu, what are you guys dealing with? Amar Luhay. B'zman she Beis Hamikdash kayin. Ma'ad minad minchal ma'ayis. He tells them, we're dealing with halachas of Beis Hamikdash. That's what they were dealing with. Haman wants to kill them, and Mordechai is teaching the halachas of Yerushalayim. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's Mordechai. Who is Mordechai? You want to know Mordechai's? Source 20, the Gemara again tells us. Why does it say all these names? Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. Why does it say all these different names? The Gemara says, Ben Yair, Ben Sheir, and Neam Sheisobet Filaso. He opened up the eyes of the Jewish people. He enlightened them. He made them realize who they are, what they can accomplish. That you're the Am Segula Bet Shimi Bet Sheshamel Tfilos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears his tfilos. He's someone who's connected to God. Ben Kish Shehikis Al Shara Nakhmin Taklo. He could bang on the gates of Shemayim and they'll open up for him. Why? Because he's connected to Yerushalayim. He's connected to God. He understands Am Segula. That is Mordechai. Gemara says another unbelievable thing. You want to know what defeated Haman? What do you think defeated Haman? Why did Haman lose? It was absolutely obviously. Was there something that we did as a klal that helped us? We fasted, we davened, yes. But listen to this unbelievable thing. Source 22, another Gemara. Amar Reish Lakish Golib Yeduot Nimisha Amar Paya Olam Sha'asi Haman Lishko Shkali Vayisrael. Haman goes to Ahasuerus and he offers him money to kill the Jewish people. He takes Shkalim
to kill the Jewish people. You want to know what saved us? L'fichach hichdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do Machatzis HaShekel, a mitzvah called Machatzis HaShekel. Do you guys know what Machatzis HaShekel is?
Yeah.
What was it? You gave half a shekel, thank you, but what was it for?
Korbanos.
Korbanos? Which Korbanos?
Tamid.
No, the communal.
The Tzibur. That is the Korbanos that Klal Yisrael as a whole used. When they were in Yerushalayim, those Shkalim saved us. The Shkalim that we're going to give in 2 days from now. You're going to give Machzis, Zechel Machzis Shekel. Do you know what the Zecher L'Machzis HaShekel is? It's saying, I'm not going to forget the Beis HaMikdash. There's something called the Machzis HaShekel. And I'm going to go give it. I'm going to go give it because I'm not going to forget Yerushalayim. That is what defeats Haman. That defeats Haman. Furthermore, and I think we understand all of this. We understand all the mitzvahs Hayom and Purim. The mitzvahs Hayom and Purim. When we realize who we are, who we're not, where we're supposed to be going, all you focus in on Purim is one thing, is going back to Yerushalayim. What caused us to leave Yerushalayim? Sinas Chinam. Right? Source number 23. Avot Mikdash Sheni, the second Mitzvah was destroyed. She'oskim b'Torah Mitzvos. We had Torah Mitzvos. Interesting. I didn't realize this. We had Torah Mitzvos, but we didn't have Sinas Chinam. We had Torah Mitzvos, but we didn't realize that another Jew was part of the Am Segula. We didn't realize. We didn't appreciate another Jew. The whole day of Purim is being attacking that, is fixing that. It's saying, I want to go back to Yerushalayim, I want to come back to Yerushalayim by becoming one. By realizing the Machzis HaShekel, I'm half, I'm nothing without another Jew. All the mitzvahs of the day revolve around that. Shalach Manos, I have to give it to somebody else. I can't do one of the mitzvahs by myself. There's not one mitzvah I can do by myself. In the highest form. Shalach Manos, I can't do by myself. Matanos HaVionim, I can't do by myself. A suda, you're not supposed to eat a suda by yourself. You're supposed to have other people at your suda. You can technically read the Megillah, but there's a special halacha berov am hadras hamelech that the more people you lay in the Megillah with, the better. You can't do that by yourself. Every mitzvah sayom is geared towards going back to Yerushalayim. It's realizing that we're the Am Segula. That's how we dress up. I think also it's that help getting dressed up is to help us realize. Don't look at the outside. Look deep inside. Drinking helps us because it breaks down all the barriers. Yeah, I don't know if you. I'm saying in Baruch Hashem and Yeshiva that when you have 100 drunk guys, all of a sudden it's an unbelievable thing. Like guys who never spoke to each other, crying on each other's shoulders, laughing. Guys who never hug, you never want to be anywhere near. You have no problem being next to them. The guy who smells bad, you don't care because everybody smells bad that moment. But there's something about that you feel echad. You feel achdos. You feel you're breaking down the sinas chinam. That is part of the day of Purim. That's what we're trying to do. So, that's why also anybody who comes to give you, ask you for money, you don't care, I don't care today. I want to be close to every Jew. I don't care what your issue is, this, that, that. I don't care. Okay, that's why I go back to Yerushalayim. That's all I care about. So we ask a question. What's with the Kabbalah Satorah? Purim. What's the connection? The connection is on Purim. We recognize the whole idea of Am Segula. We recognize the deep relationship and love that we have with Hashem. Which is what Haman fought and which we were victorious and we realized. At that moment, we recognize that when Hashem put the mountain over our heads, it wasn't to scare us. It wasn't to force us. Hashem was telling us how deep our relationship is with Him. What do I mean? Hashem saying, you're Am Segula and you can't escape me, Am Segula. Am Segula means me and you are one. And what that means is that if you don't decide to take the Torah, then you might as well die. Because not having a relationship with God is impossible. That doesn't work. Hashem was saying, I'm not forcing you, but realize if you don't take this, you can't function. What defines you, the Jew, is Am Segula. And I'll just drop it over your head. And at the moment we saw, it was at that moment when we realized that's Hashem's message the whole time. It was at that moment on Purim that we were able to say, Nasa v'nishma with all of our hearts. We saw Torah for what it really was. That Torah is the kli that's needed to bring out the Am Segula. We can't live without the Torah. We need the Torah. It's not a matter of God forcing it. We need it. We have to have it. I think this answer is a beautiful, there's a beautiful pshat of the Sfas Emes. The Megillah says in Source 24, La'yehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sasam v'yikar. The Jews were filled with light, happiness, another expression of happiness and splendor. What does that mean? After the whole Purim story, La'yehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sasam v'yikar, what does that mean? So Gemara says an unbelievable thing. I have the Gemara, it's in Source 25, I bolded the parts that we're going to discuss. Ora zu Torah. When it says La'yehudim ha'isa ora, that they had light, that's referring to Torah. Again, and it brings Psukkit to prove it. Okay? Simcha. What's Simcha? That's referring to Yom Tov. Sason. What's Sason? It's bolded. Sason Zu. Mila. That's referring to Mila. Yakar. What's Yakar? Tefillin. Anybody have a question? After the Pot says, like, here's my soul, that's what it's referring to. Yeah, what's the question?
Why
those four? Good question. What else?
Why tefillin?
Why tefillin? What does that do with the story? Think about the words that were used.
Zezun Elu.
Why do you say Torah? Why do you say Yantif? Why do you say tefillin? Why do you say Bris Milah? Why are you talking in code? Why are we talking in code? Say like Hudim Haisa Torah, Tfilin, Mila, and Yantif. Just say that. Right? Sfas Emes says, because the Megillah is using the real word. Torah, what we call Torah, that's a word we use, but doesn't define what it is. You want to know what Torah really is? Torah zu ora. It's light. The real definition of Torah, the real word for Torah is Ora. Now this is the word I say when I'm drunk, so you guys are getting a little glimpse into my Purim right now. But it's better when I'm drunk, whatever. But this is, at least, when I'm drunk, it's like, you know the Kohen Gadol, you know, one time a year, he goes into the Koshik Dashim, and Yom Kippur, asks for tshuva for Al-Kai, so the smoke, everything, you know, and the Kodesh all around him. So that's the moment I'm drunk. At least I think to myself when I'm drunk. I'm like, you can think anything you want when you're drunk. You know, just come on. Baruch Hashem, this is what I'm thinking when I'm drunk. Okay, you should all be zocher to marry somebody who, when they're drunk, thinks about the Kodesh Hashem. Okay, not other things. So I am sitting with Naibi Lifnim. This is what I say when I'm flying Lifnim. Okay, when you're with Naibi Lifnim, Torah is Ora. Yontif is not Yontif. That's a name you call it. What it really is Simcha. That's joy. On Purim, we have eyesights that allow us to see the inner, deep thing. The real thing of what it really is. It's not Torah. It's not Hashem holding a mountain over our heads. It's Hashem saying, Ora, Ava, I love you. It wasn't scary forcing you. It wasn't like a lightning bolt held over, you know, a lightning bolt about to strike you. It's not saying, I love you. That is Purim. That is the simple Purim. The crazier it is, it's crazy. The more crazy it is, and the more Chil Hashem, not to say we should be having Chil Hashem, the more crazy it is, the more Chil Hashem it is, the more it actually can show Am Segula. It's crazy. We shouldn't have Chil Hashem, not promoting Chil Hashem. But that is part of Purim. I think the reason it's so crazy and so simple, we said, how can we have Simcha in this world? We're not allowed to have Simcha in this world until Mashiach comes. But I want to tell you an unbelievable thing that the Rambam says. There's going to be one Yantif and one part of Tanakh that will be around when Mashiach comes. You know what it is? Purim and Megillah. When Mashiach comes, the rest of Torah is going to be thrown out the window. We're not going to celebrate any of the other Purim except for Purim and read the Megillah. Why? You want to know why? When the Mashiach comes, it's going to be Purim. It's going to be a time when we can see things for what they really are. What that means is on Purim, you are living the next world. You are living the Emos HaMashiach. That's what it's going to feel like. That's the Simcha that we're going to experience. And therefore, Megillah and Purim are never going to leave because that is expressing Yimos HaMashiach. That's what's going to happen, B'ezrat Hashem, 2 days from now. We are going to experience that. It's going to be unbelievable. It's awesome. We're so lucky. But now I want to turn to you. I was mostly talking out to guys. That's how I give a share that I'll give to guys in yeshiva. Beautiful. Drink responsibly. You know? What am I going to tell you guys? These are my own thoughts. You may like them. You may not like them. But anytime I speak in a girls' school, I feel, I say this every time. I said this last time I was here. I just spoke in Mimo. I said the same thing. I feel that I have the tremendous schus of teaching the next mothers of Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable schus. I don't know if you guys realize that. I realize it's tremendous. Like, this schus that I have to walk to this marriage like this is unbelievable. What do I tell you guys? The next mothers of Klal Yisrael. Why is Purim so important for you guys? What's your avoda? And this is where it's going to get fun. Okay? We're going to talk a little bit about Chava. Source 28. Who's Chava? You don't have to answer the rhetorical question. Who's Chava? Who's Chava? Chava, listen to what the Pasuk tells us about Chava. Vayipo Hashem Elokim Terdeim Ala Adam Vayishan HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam fall asleep. Vayikach Achas Mitzilosa Vayisker Basa Tachtel. Adam falls asleep and Hashem does a surgery. He takes out Tzil'av, a body part of Adam, and creates Chava, woman. What's Tzil'av? A rib. What? Whatever it is. It's something that's inside of a person, correct? Why? Why did he take an arm, a leg? I mean, granted, we don't want Adam to be missing an arm or a leg. That'd be weird. But if you look at the Parash HaRosh on Torah, source 29, he says, it says, Vayiven, that he built Chava. What does that mean? It's a Lashon of Havana, of deep understanding. Vina, the type of understanding. Shehevin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hagayon HaIsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the essence of a woman, of what a woman is going to be. Again, this doesn't mean it's the only thing that a woman is, but if this is a defining characteristic of a woman, what is it? She took it from a place that's tanua, that's hidden, that can't be seen with the eyes. Because what's going to make up a woman is somebody that's not based on the outer, on the externals. It's something that's internal. It's something that's deep. It's something that's beyond what our eyes can see. That defines you. That's what they say women have bina. What's bina? It's being able to understand things from other things. It's being able to look at something, understand its deep meaning, and now apply it to something else. That defines a woman. Because you can see the essence of things. It says that in source number 34, Vayikra Adam Shem Ishto Chava. Adam calls his wife Chava. Adam was able to see the essence of everybody and give them the names that define them. Why is he called Chava Chava? Kihi Haisa Ein Kochai. She is going to be the mother of all living things. She is going to be the source of life. She is going to give life. She is going to bring Kedusha to the world. She's going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the world. She's going to be a partner with God. And Chava says that. If you look in I'm all over the place in the Maror Komos. Did I not bring it? I didn't bring it. 1 second. Oh, I'm going to get up there in a second. It's interesting. As you see, I'm going to say this very, very quickly. When a woman gives birth, okay? What happens when a woman gives birth? It's regarding Kedusha too much. Kadosh Tameh after that. Tame. For a man, she's Tame for half the amount of time. If she has a woman, if she has a baby girl, that would be really weird if she had a full-grown woman. I guess Esav was like a full-grown man. So, but like, yeah, that if a girl, baby girl, nice baby girl, 7 pounds, you know, healthy, comes out, So if you have a baby girl, you're tummy for 60 days. If you have a baby boy, you're tummy for 30 days. Anybody have two questions? Why what?
Why is she tummy?
Why is she tummy? And why is she tummy for double the amount when she has a girl? Says to my friend, when you have inside, when you had a baby in your stomach for 9 months, you had Kedusha. You had a baby in the Shama with a Malach learning Torah in your stomach. You have Kedusha. You want to know what happens when Kedusha leaves? Tuma fills its place. And therefore, when the baby was there, and the baby leaves, you're going to get tummy. Why double for a woman? For a girl? Because she has the ability to also be a creator. She's double Kedusha. Meaning you see her and you see Kedusha, but there's something inside that allows her to have more Kedusha. Her whole existence is something that's beyond her. It's deep. It's inside. And therefore, Chava says, when she has her first child, came. In source number 36, she says, "V'tar v'telad is kayin." She has kayin, and what does she say? She calls him kayin. Why? V'tomer kanisi ish es Hashem. I develop a relationship with God. That she says, by having a child, I represent Hashem the most in this world. I'm a creator like God's a creator. I become one with God. She could see beyond. She could see the relationship. She could see I'm segula. That defines a woman. And that's why Chazal describe a woman in Source 37 called Kvuda Das Melech Pinima. Do you want to understand what defines a woman? Do you want to know what her glory is, what her honor is? Pinima. It's within. It's deep. It's being able to see beyond what the eyes can see. That's a woman. That's a koach of a woman. She has the ability to see a child when he's doing something bad. And everybody says, oh, he's such a rush. No, he's not. Wait and see. Look at the potential inside. I'm telling you, he's going to be great. And she doesn't just do Torah and mitzvos. She lives with God. When you're around a woman, you feel God. You feel God. Listen to this unbelievable thing. It says, we say, Shema b'ni musar avicha. Listen to the musar of your father. The alti tosna asimacha. Don't abandon the Torah of your mother. What's the Torah of the mother? Listen to what Rav Salavitchik says in Source 39. What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? He's talking about his mother. Most of all, I learned from my mother that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me that there's a flavor, a scent, a warmth to the mitzvos. I learned from her the most important thing in life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. Without her teaching, which quite often were transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. But Salavitchik is saying, you want to know what Torah Simecha is? It's living and feeling God. A man could stress the Torah mitzvos. That's the external. That's the bechira. You want to know who gives the Am Segula? You want to know who's able to see Am Segula? Who has the sensitivity to feel the Am Segula? And to create a house, when you walk into the house, you feel God. God's not a concept, but He's there, and you're living with Him. It's you. That's your essence. You have the ability to reveal that which is hidden. I have a lot I could say about this. There's not that much time left, so I'm going to cut it short. There's a ton I could say on this. Tons. But just coming back to Purim. What is one of your avodas? The first thing is to realize the unbelievable schus it is to be Chava. To have a relationship with God. A relationship that's not superficial, but that's deep. That's real, that's alive. And if it's not, to ask yourself, why is it not? And to ask yourself, I'm running out of time to figure out why. And your year is running out. And to ask yourself, what do I still need to do to make sure that in my house, wherever it may be, Bezrat Hashem in Yerushalayim and HaKodesh, we're going back to Yerushalayim, right? We spoke about. Bezrat Hashem coming back to Yerushalayim and HaKodesh. But anywhere I am, you, when you step foot into my house, you will feel that. And I'm putting your job. Your job, I believe, I really think this is true. It's not to get drunk. It's not to be the one that acts like a fool. It's not to be that. Your job is the one to look at the fool and turn to Hashem and say, I'm Segula. I see who he is inside. I see his Kedusha. It's going to be so hard. You're going to see people acting like fools. And your job is to say, I'm Segula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm Segula. I see his Kedusha. And I know this is true because there's one person in the Megillah who teaches us this. Esther. Esther's not in the streets screaming and yelling and not bowing down to Haman and wearing sackcloth and crying like Mordecai. Mordecai's in the streets doing that. He's dealing with the craziness. Esther is in the darkest place in the world. She's in Ahasuerus' palace. She doesn't go out. She never leaves. And within that place of darkness, and within that place where it's very hard to feel Am Segula, she's the one that saves us. She's the one that brings Ula. She's the one that tells Mordechai, go tell everybody to daven. Go tell everybody to act. I understand the situation now. Mordechai helped her get there, but she was the one that understood that. She acted, therefore it's called Megillas Esther. Not Megillas Mordechai, Megillas Esther. What does Megillas Esther mean? Megale, to reveal, Hester. Esther is Hester. That which is revealed. Sorry, which is hidden. She revealed that which is hidden. That's the story of Esther. When you're sitting in the palace, when everything looks like it's crazy, you have the ability to say, God is here. God will redeem us. That's your job. You represent the Shekhinah. You represent the ability to bring God to this world. And I'll end with one short thing in Source 41. Kol ha-ge'ulos, omdos v'rosh ha-tevel shel aim. If you look at all the ge'ulas that happened in Klal Yisrael, there are three major ge'ulas that took place. All of them, their leaders, if you look at the leaders, the first letters, the rosh ha-tevos of the leaders, spell aim, mother. Where do we see that? Simne shel ge'ula rishona. By the first ge'ula, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, Aaron or Miriam, or Aaron and Moshe. Aleph, Aaron, Moshe, or Miriam, Mem. Aim. The Purim story, Ba'achashverosh, Esther, or Mordechai. Esther is Aleph, Mordechai is a Mem. Aim. Ube'gu'ula asida li'evu Mashiach. The final redemption which we're all waiting for. The final redemption of going back to Yishalayim. Eliyahu Mashiach, Aleph Mem. It's telling us, you want to know who's going to bring Geula? Who's responsible for Geula? Again, I have 100 proofs for this. I can speak another 3 hours about this. But just to give you a small idea of who you are, you should know who you are. You should leave this here knowing who you are. You're the ones that are responsible for Geula. It's you, when you represent Hashem. When you bring God to the world, you'll bring Geula. You'll be responsible for Geula. That's why everything has to do with aim. Turn it to you. You guys have a lot of responsibility. A lot. I'm sorry, some people maybe didn't want to be at the speech because they didn't realize how much responsibility you have. So you just go up to Shemayim and they're going to say, why didn't you do this? They said, I didn't know. Now you go up to Shemayim and I'm going to be sitting there like, you knew. I told you who you were. You have to reach Godless. You have to bring God to the world. Sorry, I'm going to be that guy. But you're here and you heard this at Baruch Hashem. You heard this because now you know who you are. Now you know what you're here to accomplish. Now you know what Klal Yisrael is. Now you understand our opportunity that we have. And this Purim and after Purim to bring God to the world. As Dr. Shem, we should all be Zocha. Klal Yisrael should be Zocha. To realize that we're the Am Segula. To realize where we belong, where we're going. When we do that, when we open up our eyes, we'll open up our eyes and go back to Yerushalayim to see the Binyan B'Sabidus, Meher B'Meinu, Amen, V'Amen.